Parents strongly caution, the following programs are intended for mature audiences over the age of 18. These programs may contain some material that many parents would not find suitable for children and may include intense violence, sexual situations, coarse language, and suggestive dialogue.
All right, happy Tuesday afternoon and welcome to another episode of Sound Injection. Yes, I know it's early. It's okay. We have three shows today, so get the fuck over it.
You're welcome.
So we have the almighty Hammerhead. Where are you guys from again? Washington, Oregon?
Washington, like Tacoma mostly is where we started.
Seattle, Tacoma. Now we're located here in Squim, a little town, right on the coast.
Okay, so I'm gonna usually I pick on Meg right off the bat, but I'm not gonna pick on Meg. I'm not gonna pick on you right now.
Okay.
Maybe later, but not right now.
Okay, I'm just gonna wait for the later ones.
Good. So I wanna know, what was it like in your local scene when you first started?
Well, basically we started out around the time Alice in Chains came out. We all used to play a lot of shows together with different guys out there. And it was really good. It kind of died off some bit over the years, but it really was a great scene. There was lots of cool bands we played with. And it was a great time. That was a great era to be playing metal in, you know, in my opinion.
Well, to give you a perspective, we recorded in Triad Studios in Redmond, Washington, and Queensrÿche had just finished up their EP, and we recorded the album Rock Forever right behind them. So, and also, what's his name? Fly Like an Eagle?
Oh, Steve Miller was in the studio.
Yeah, he had a bunch of equipment. He allowed us to use a bunch of their mixing stuff. And
yeah.
Pretty cool. Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, there's a lot of historical elements there, and some people are like, who the fuck is Steve Miller? I know who Steve Miller is, but
I don't know how sometimes remember it.
No, it's totally understandable. That's really fucking cool. So, I mean, as far as like being in a band back then to being in a band now, would you rather it go back to the way it was when you guys first started, or do you like how the industry is right now?
I like it now and I like it then. It's just, we've just matured a lot over the years as musicians, and you know, our sound's a little different than it used to be, but it's still us. We still like to write unique songs about things that happened to us and, you know, stories in our lives. So it's hard to say. I'd sure like to be younger, that's for sure, you know.
I understand. I wish I could be younger, too.
We're still moving good, but we are a little older, but we still like to rock, and we're having a lot of tons of fun doing it. So,
hey, you know, you can't bash on the old guys. Like, the three of us were just at Welcome to Rockville like a month and a half ago, and I sit there and watch Alice Cooper outperform 70% of the bands that were out there that included bands that were kids in their fucking 20s. Wow. And he outperformed every fucking one. I was like, I want to be like that when I'm 80 years old.
It's like you become more of a seasoned veteran when you get older. You know, you've been around the business a lot. You play tons of shows. You know your instrument. And it's just... It's a blessing for us to be able to get back together and pull this thing together. Hammerhead's a really large extended family. There's members that have been in the original members in the band, some of them, and some of them are not able to be part of it anymore, but they all support us and we all love each other. We've never, ever had anybody in this band dislike anybody else. Even when we disbanded, we stayed friends forever, our whole lives. Yeah. So we're just happy to be here and show what Hammerhead stands for, what we kind of believe in our music, and I'll leave it at that.
Hey, that's a fucking goal. All right, Meg.
All right, so here's a fun off-the-wall question. If music opened up a portal, if your music opened up a portal, where would it lead to?
Heaven.
Heaven?
But not yet. I'm not ready for that yet.
Hopefully, some getting a tour over in Europe, like Mirfest and the US Festival. Hopefully next year.
We'd love to do Sturgis. Sturgis has been I've never got to play Sturgis. It's probably one of my biggest bucket list items. I've always dreamt about playing there. I've played a lot of other places around the country and all over, but it's just. Sturgis just seems like the gig to play.
Well, we're working on that for next year.
So we're trying to see if we can get in there.
We almost got in this year, but they already promised other bands in front of us. So,
okay. I actually know a band that's playing Sturgis this year. So, yeah, cool. It is tough. It's tough to get in there. It's a tough crowd, but if you get in there, that could literally open up a whole lot of doors.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
All right, CB, you're up on deck, brother.
So out of all the shows that you guys have played so far, what has been the best show that you've ever played, and do you have a story for what happened with it?
Oh, that's a tough one, man.
Could have been the Paramount.
They've locked shows.
Could have been the Paramount.
Yeah, that was the best one. I would have to say, you know, I think personally for me, we played big shows and small shows, but we did a show with Steppenwolf for a big biker rally, and it was cool because they had big roast and everything. It was a big biker show, and that was one of the best shows I think we ever had. We had so much fun with that, but it's hard when you played so many shows. A lot of them are really, really good, but I think our first show was one of our really coolest shows, and that was in the Gorilla Gardens in Seattle. Our first big show, kind of on a bigger stage. And that was really, really got our fan base started and really started getting bigger and bigger. So that's for me. I just think that one show we played with Steppenwolf was one of my favorite shows we did.
Now that he mentioned Steppenwolf, I used to sing for Goldie McJohn for about a year there before he died. The keyboard player, keyboard player. Yeah. Great guy.
Yeah, they're awesome guys.
That is awesome. All right, so if you guys could currently go on a world tour and you could take any three bands with you and they cannot say no, who are you taking with you on that tour?
Ooh, that's a trick question, I think. Because we're not egotistical. We're not like we're back there to where we could drag anybody we wanted with us. But I mean, we would love to open for some bigger bands, but at the same time, if you ask me my top favorite influences of who I'd like to be touring with, I'd probably like to.
Judas Priest is one of mine.
Priest,
Monster Magnet.
I really like Aerosmith, to be honest, even though they're not a super metal band. Scorpions, Van Halen in their day, all those guys in the 80s, right? But nowadays, I really like Five Finger Death Punch. I love, there's a lot of really killer bands out now that I'd like to put Godsmack. It would be great to open up for those guys.
Disturbed,
Five Finger Death Punch, for the newer bands.
Don't forget, guys, you're actually opening up for Lita Ford in a Unity show coming up.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we're stoked. And this show is really special to me, being ex-military. Because this is all about our first responders and our police and firefighters and all the ambulance people that take care of our communities and work hard every day to keep us safe. And the military people, too. There's a lot of retired military in this town, and they, we're going to give them a big shout-out, too, for protecting our homeland and keeping our country free. And so it really means a lot, this show, to me personally, because it's got a lot of meaning behind it. You know, it's not just a regular show we're just performing for a crowd. It's a big event. It's going to be 10 hours long. It's in Squim, Washington. We go on at 5:00 on Saturday, August 8th. It's a smaller town area, so it's easy to find. But yeah, we're excited about that, and especially opening for Lita Ford. She's one of my heroes too in the rock world.
Fantastic. All right, Meg, you're up.
Okay. What's the best advice that another artist has given to you?
For me or you?
For each of y'all.
Do your vocal lessons.
he studied under David Kyle, which is Queensryche's same teacher.
Lane Staley, Chris Cornell,
all of them went to David.
Anne and Nancy Hart.
They all did. David Kyle was Wilson. The guy to go to for being a great vocalist or trying to become one. What was that as far as my influences? Is that what you're asking?
No. What's the best advice that another artist has given you as being an artist?
It was probably when I went with Kevin, my manager. He got me to go to meet Aerosmith at KFW. And I got to hang out with the guys and talk to them. And we just came out. We had a cassette. That's how far back it was.
Yeah.
And talked to them. I asked them. They were one of my favorite bands. I said,
Did any of those artists gave you some good advice, man?
Paul, let me finish.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Okay. So they told me basically just work hard, do a lot of shows, have faith in your band, and that's how they kept it together. And as far as playing my guitar, I learned to play in the dark like a blind person.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Get your instrument to the point where you just feel it as more than just looking at it and playing it, and you get you can pull more emotion out of it.
That's a good one.
Fantastic. That's actually better advice than we heard, because like most bands that we talked to were like, what was the best advice given to you? And they're like, don't do it. That's the number one. Like, if you want to have money, don't do it.
My mom used to call it a pipe dream.
Mine too.
That's a pipe dream. She was German.
But if you don't follow your dreams, what do you got? It's better. I don't want to sit home and watch TV at my age. I want to go and play and take it all the way to the end, like Ozzy did.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. Like, even if you never make it big, you can at least think back on all the experiences that you got to have and got to do. Because I guarantee you a good portion of those experiences, your normal everyday person walking on the street will never experience those things ever.
Nope. Right. They're so unique.
I told Kevin I want to write a book about our experiences down the road, but we might have to make it anonymous.
Anything goes.
I know. I'm just kidding.
That I understand. All right, CB, you're up, man.
So if your band could be sponsored by three companies, doesn't matter where they come from, if you want to be sponsored by any three, what would they be?
For me, it would be Gibson, Marshall, and Line 6.
Okay. Ooh, good brands, good brands.
What about Monster? Oh. Craig, you actually have a Monster guitar with you.
Oh. Oh yeah, I do have a Monster guitar. It's a Monster endorsed. It's a guitar. LTD. I like that guitar a lot too. So my Gibson, I love to death for recording because it's got such a great tone at the custom shop. But it is heavy to play on stage. You know, I don't like to wear it for the whole set because it'll wear me out. You know, I like the lighter, faster guitars, but for recording, I like my Les Paul. And for live, I like my Jim and my.
All right, fair enough, fair enough. So for both of you, if you could only listen to one album for the rest of your life, what album would that be?
That's only a good one, Doctor.
I can name one first.
That would almost be a curse. Like you went to hell. You can't listen to everybody you like. You know,
yeah. It kind of is. It kind of is a curse. But you're choosing the lesser of all evils. So
at least you get to decide. Yeah.
If I were to answer, it would be Pink Floyd's The Wall. In loop for the rest of my life.
Yeah, my dad had such a record collection when I was a kid, like hundreds and hundreds of albums, and he had the big synth sound, the 7001 stereo system with 4 JBL 100-watt speakers in each corner, so I listened to so much music. But I would have to say my biggest first influence that really inspired me to try to get good at playing lead guitar was Eddie Van Halen, so I probably would go with the first Van Halen album.
Okay.
We used to cruise around on the strip looking for chicks and, you know, blasting Van Halen on an 8-track.
I would say Judas Priest for me.
And Priest.
Yeah.
Those are up there. And
I never get tired of listening to Rob Halford. He's just amazing.
Okay. Fair enough. Fair enough. Well, that's actually some new answers that we have not had before. So that's a plus. Mm-hmm. All right, Meg, you're up.
What's your favorite thing to see fans do during a live performance?
Raise their hands up.
Yep. Scream. Yeah.
You know, just giving us the, they're having a good time, you know. So
the one thing that puts a smile is to buy Hammerhead merch.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good one.
Always helps.
Well, yeah, that's how most of these bands make the most money is merch. It's all about merch.
Mm-hmm.
We are no longer musicians. We are glorified T-shirt salesmen. The music sell the T-shirts.
We're merchants and dealers, just like in our song Priestmonger. We're merchants that I am a priestmonger. You know, merchant and a stealer, a dealer, whatever. We merch is the only way bands can hardly survive nowadays. You know, we don't get if our fans support us, then that keeps us going. You know, the more they pitch in a little bit here and there, and it really helps us out a lot. We want to come out with another album soon, maybe next year. So.
Looking at it from the outside in, it's kind of like you go up there and perform on the stage, and that is a 45-minute commercial to sell your merch. That's exactly what it is. Yeah. It's the longest commercial and sales pitch ever.
Yep.
All right, CB, you're up, brother.
What is the biggest misconception about metalheads and in the rock industry right now?
I think the biggest misconception in my mind is that the people that don't understand what it's about think it's devil music or evil. Or it's not. Yeah. It's artist expression, you know? There's a billion different kinds of music in this world, and that's actually what I think helps keep humanity sane and together is music.
Put it this way. We did a show in Tacoma at the Masonic Temple, and right across the street was the Mormon Church. And it was for New Year's Eve. Remember that film? And they tried to shut it down.
They started picketing us.
They said we were the devil worshippers and all that.
They started picketing us.
But, you know, all it did was bring about a thousand more people to the show. Yeah. We packed it out.
Hey, there's no such thing as bad publicity.
No.
I'm telling you, that was told to me long ago when I first started playing and doing shows. And if I got upset about something like that, you know, one of my very first managers would come up to me and he'd hit me on the shoulder and be like, "Man, there's no such thing as bad publicity. Don't fucking worry about it. It's helping you sell tickets." And then he'd walk off. All right, boss. I got it. So if you guys had a chance to dig up any dead musician and spend 24 hours with them learning everything they know about the music industry, who would you want to spend that day with?
Lemmy Kilmister.
Yes!
Yep.
Lemmy is God. Lemmy is always God.
Yes. For me, it would be Steven Tyler. Okay.
If I were to answer, it would be Jimi Hendrix.
We do get that one.
Well, probably Tyler.
See, Lemmy is literally the reason I got into being a musician, playing metal, and becoming a bass player.
Yeah.
I used to get made fun of all the time whenever I first went to go get my first instrument, and I wanted the bass, and the first thing the guy at the store looked at me, he starts laughing. And I'm just looking at him as a little kid. I'm like, why the hell is this guy laughing at me? And he was like, no one cares about the bass player. You don't want to be a drummer or a guitarist? I'm like, no, I want to be Lemmy.
Yep.
And so I tried to be Lemmy. Unfortunately, I can't sing for fucking shit, and I sound like a goddamn cat in heat. So that did not work. So I just stuck with the bass, and still to this day, I am a fucking bass player all because of Lemmy.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I love Lemmy too. In fact, his dog, his Corky, is named Lemmy.
Aww.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, a Yorkshire Terrier, Lemmy.
That is badass. He's a
sweet dog.
Yeah.
All right, Meg, you're up, girl.
What is your go-to drink of choice whenever you're celebrating after a show or anything?
Lemon water.
Lemon water?
Yeah, nice. We're a pretty sober band. I don't drink, but I used to, but I don't anymore.
Somebody does
monsters. Something hydrating.
Gatorade.
That's a good place.
But if I had to pick an alcohol, I'm kind of a beer guy. You know, I like beer. I like good beer.
So. Mine would be vodka cranberry.
Ooh.
Okay.
That's a good one. I drink that in Vegas once I'm done drinking Bloody Marys.
Yeah.
Oh, my. Oh, my. Y'all making my stomach hurt even thinking about it. I've always been a beer guy. I'm a big beer guy. I love beer. But if I do liquor, which is very, very rare that I do liquor, if I do, it's a really good bourbon. And that is it. I will have a good bourbon, especially if I've got a good cigar, because I am a cigar smoker and I like my cigars, but that's about the only time, but it is very rare. I just like my beer, and that's it. I would like to say
Hammerhead is not really a much of a alcoholic drinking band. It's not that type of music, but our fans do drink some beer out there, but we do appreciate our fans for whatever they do. But I just would have to say it's just heavy metal, hard rock music. So that's the best expression. So when it comes to alcohol within the band, it's they're pretty much sober at this point. So like I said, like they said, Craig, he's a really good, awesome, really good, awesome guitar player. And he does drink some lemon water, and they're really cool guys. So they're really fun to hang out with. They're funny guys too.
Yeah. Nothing wrong with being straight edge. No worries.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, CB, you up, my friend.
So if you were given an opportunity at any time in history to put your music in a film, what film would that be?
Well, mine was already put in a film. Knievel's Wild Ride, a reality series.
Oh, wow.
On A&E. Yeah.
I do remember that show. I never watched it, but I do remember it.
I was Rocker Pete in that show.
Okay.
Cool. So, I did put up some episodes on my YouTube channel that is on the same channel where the music videos are. If you guys are looking for the episodes of Knievel's Wild Ride, it's on there. So
okay,
I'll have to go watch that shit now. So I'm not much of a TV watcher.
I'd want to do the music for Star Trek. Sorry, I'm a geek.
Oh, that led into another question.
You shut your whore mouth right now. No. You shut the fuck up.
I am a geek. I'll admit it. I love sci-fi and all that stuff. So.
Go, CB. Go ahead. Just fucking ruin my day. Go ahead.
So I guess the question would be, are you Star Wars or Star Trek?
I knew that was coming. I'm
Star Trek all the way. I like Star Wars too, but I'm Star Trek. Beam me up, Scotty.
My answer would be Star Wars.
Yes!
I feel like you had that there because you thought we were going to ask that question.
Yes, that's correct.
CB just likes to break my heart. That's all it is. I mean,
fucking with you over the show is one of my greatest things I can do here.
You fuck with me all day, every day. We live together. You're literally in the room right next to me. So.
I get up every day looking for ways to fuck with you. I mean, that's just what it is.
This is true. This is absolutely fucking true. All right. So as far as like, because you guys have been playing shows and doing this for a long, long time, what is the worst thing that has ever happened to you or most embarrassing thing that's ever happened to you during a show?
The Paramount in Seattle, the sound man accidentally shut my mic off and everybody's booing us because they couldn't hear the singer, and it ended up, they thought the mic was the one I was supposed to be singing through. It was Don Cooper that had the mic. They turned it up so hot, he just screamed at the crowd.
Oh my gosh.
So by the time I figured it out, I went over to use that mic, and it was our last song. Remember?
Yeah. I remember.
That was so embarrassing, man.
For me, we were on the road, and somebody jumped up on stage and tackled my singer. And I went over there and I took my guitar and I just smacked him in the head with it, kicked him in the head, knocked him off the stage, and he ended up going to the hospital.
Wow.
And my drummer came in, jumped off the drums to help our singer, and we went down. He went down and I was going to hit the guy with my hand, and Bobby stuck his face right in front of my fist, and I boom, I clocked my drummer right in the jaw.
Oh no.
By accident, because I was going after this guy, you know. And that's one thing we had to learn on the road, man, is we had to have each other's back at all times. We got dumped, we've gotten all kinds of things have happened to us, and we've had to get in a lot of fights.
Remember,
we never lost, we always won. So that means something to, you know, that we look out for each other, you know, but we don't like to fight, but if we have to, we will.
Well, when they stole his guitar, we went up to the guys that stole it, and that was quite the scene.
They stole Gumpy.
They stole Gumpy, and so I found out where it was, and we drove up there, and
we got the guy that did it.
Yep.
we duct taped his hands behind his back because he didn't have the guitar.
Mafia style.
We threw him in the back seat and told him we were going to drive to the nearest bridge and drop you off if you don't tell us where the guitar is. And he thought we were joking. We were out there at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, he jumped on the hood of my car, and I drove about 18 blocks with him hanging on to the hood.
Well, that's a long story. I'm going to put it in the book.
Needless to say, he pooped his pants.
And we ended up getting the guitar back, and nobody got hurt. So it was good. It was hard. It took us about a couple days to get it back.
Yeah.
Holy shit. Okay. Yeah,
that's a long story. We could go into detail, but it's probably too long a story to tell here for today.
Now that is a story you need to write.
That's what I'm doing. Yeah, I'm going to write a story about that in the book, too. Well,
they kept breaking into our vehicles. We were down at we had our studio downtown Tacoma, and they kept breaking the windows out of our cars, stealing like our radar detectors or stereo systems out of our vehicles. And finally, we set up a sting.
We caught like five guys. We're not going to say what race they are or anything because we're not racist. But we caught five guys, and they saw 10 guys running around the corner. That was our crew and the band coming at them, and they all ended up on the pavement with blood all over the place, and then they ran away, and the cops showed up, and they knew who we were. Just told them, they tried to steal our stuff. We beat them up. The cops just said, "Where'd they go?" I said, "Just follow the blood trail."
Oh,
oh
my god!
Just didn't bother us. They didn't handcuff us and give us no things back then. They just went and got the guy.
Yes, the cops took two of them to jail and thanked us for doing their job for them, and they were beat up. Black eye.
You're welcome. Just sign next week's paycheck over to us, and we got you.
It got to the point where we were so sick of getting ripped off. I said, "That's enough. We're going to catch these son of a bitches," and we did, boy.
Yeah.
There's a reason why we called Hammerhead, and they figured it out now.
You don't fuck with Hammerhead, guys. You don't fuck with them.
All right, fair enough. I dig it. I did. That's cool as shit.
But we were young then. I was, 28?
Yeah, we were in
there. You were, 26?
Something like that, yeah.
Okay, fair enough. All right, Meg, you're up.
So what's one thing that you absolutely have to have while you're traveling?
My guitar.
My camera equipment when I'm traveling with these guys.
Okay.
My gear.
Yeah. Just a microphone for me.
Let me rephrase this. Aside from what you need to perform, like, what's something else that makes the traveling a little bit easier for you?
Lots of money. Lots of money.
Yeah.
In my pocket.
And sleeping in my own bed.
Yeah.
That's a must.
Comfort.
Yeah.
Comfort.
Be able to be comfortable and get rested so we can perform, you know.
I gotta have a body pillow.
Me too.
Yeah, that's why I have a country coach, diesel pusher. I got my own queen size bed in the back.
Nice.
Need a body pillow. I have to have a body pillow. I don't know why. I've slept with a body pillow my whole life, and I have to have a body pillow, or I cannot fucking sleep. No matter where I'm at, I have to have a body pillow.
I have 3 or 4 pillows myself, and I've got to have them.
What's her name?
Let's go with Alice.
Okay. You don't have chains in your bedroom, do you? You don't have chains in your bedroom, too, do you?
Negative. My bedroom is very bland. It's literally a bed, a couple of dressers, and nothing on the walls.
Yes.
Now, our apartment obviously is a completely different thing, but my bedroom, I've never understood really decorating a bedroom because I'm only in there to sleep. That is literally it. I only spend like 6 hours in there, 7 at max to sleep, and that's it. So I spend all my time. Yeah, I decorate the living room and the rest of the house, but I've never understood doing anything decorative with a bedroom.
Can't see with your eyes closed, right?
Exactly.
I'm used to the couch. I mean, it's because when we travel, I'd always got the couch, you know what I'm saying? I at home, I sleep on my couch in my living room.
Okay, fair enough.
With my Yorkies and the TV on.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. All right, who is next? Is it me? Am I next? Oh, it is me. Well, goddamn, I don't know. I think it's you, Meg.
No, I think I just went. Didn't I?
Oh, yeah, she just went. Go ahead.
Well, then CB. Yeah. I don't know. I lose track. I think sometimes. It's
right. I'll go. All right. So if you could include a random instrument into your music to make it unique, what would that be?
Well, you know, I would really like to have like a heavy metal violinist in our band.
Yeah.
With the lead guitar playing that we have in this band, Rick, my best friend, too, he's a monster on guitar, too. And with a couple of really good guitar players and a violinist in there, man, we could do some really cool things, I think.
Yeah, our newest member, Rick Hiller, he's really good friends with him. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, violin is cool. I love violin, and I've heard some bands use violin here recently. I know there's like a heavier band. If you ever get the chance, go check them out. It's a band called Eminence. And Eminence, their vocalist also plays the violin. And it is absolutely fucking amazing. And then you got bands like Starset. Starset has a violin and a cellist. So they also throw cello in there, and it is fucking amazing. That was one of the first things that caught my eye whenever I first seen Starset perform at Welcome to Rockville. And I'm like, God damn, I'm like counting the members. I'm like, Jesus, how many fucking band members they got? They're like fucking Slipknot. But it's like they come out there, and it's like a cellist and a violinist and all these things that you normally don't see in a metal or hard rock band. And then they start playing. I'm like, oh my God, this is fucking amazing. I couldn't stop watching.
I've always liked the sound of saxophone too.
Yeah. I love hearing that in a metal band. There's actually a band out right now. Go ahead.
I was about to say, Hammerhead actually did brought in a harmonica from their song Gas Station Blues, and I think they actually brought in a bell for that same song, too.
Yeah, we got keyboards in our song, some of them, in the background.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty dope. There's actually another band that's bringing in saxophone. Not super heavy, but there's a band called Dreamwake, and I think they're out of Connecticut. Oh, and they actually mix metal with 80s, and they have saxophone involved. It's like 80s, like pop rock synth wave mixed with metal.
Oh, that's a weird combination, but I bet you it's cool.
Dude, it is cool. It is cool. And their music videos, when you watch their music videos, it is 80s. Like they do their music videos in like video arcade rooms and old cassette stores like Blockbuster. Whenever I know there's probably a bunch of people watching right now that's like, what the fuck is Blockbuster? Yeah, I know. I'm like, that's one of my greatest childhood memories is going to the cassette store to go get horror movies when I was a kid. If I did good and did my chores all week, my parents would take me to the comic book store, and then afterwards I could go rent like 2-3 movies for like a quarter a piece and go rent VHSs to watch and read comic books all weekend. Everybody's like, what the fuck is a VHS?
Yeah, it was a sad day to see all the Blockbusters start disappearing.
Yeah,
sad day.
I think our Blockbuster turned into a liquor store now. Huge liquor store.
A lot of running stores actually turn into liquor stores. And it's very common. Yeah, very common.
Yeah, it's like we had somebody at our house not too long ago that came in here, and they were looking at, because I've got right here next to me, I've got a vinyl player. And they're looking at it, and they're like, what is this? And I'm like, you don't know what a vinyl player is or how to operate a vinyl player? They're like, no. I'm like, oh, man. Because I still to this day, that's all I listen to is vinyl.
As a video guy, not much people know about laser discs and beta players.
Yeah.
Yeah, vinyl's coming back, that's for sure. Vinyl's back, that's for sure. We've already sold 100 copies of our vinyl.
Hell yeah.
Oh, shit, you guys got vinyls?
Yeah, we do.
Two albums.
Oh, I'm going to have to buy a vinyl from y'all. Add to my collection. Yep, I'm going to have to buy a vinyl.
Go on northwestmetalworksmusic.com.
Right. Oh, shit.
You'll get these two on the store. Yep. northwestmetalworks.com.
I'm going to have to.
Paul, send them the link.
I'll definitely send them the link after the podcast.
Okay.
Absolutely. I'm definitely going to have to get onto that.
Yeah.
So if you guys could play any venue in the entire world, what venue would you want to play? And most importantly, why?
Just getting to play any venue is good enough for me.
If Kevin Hansen was here, he would shout out Madison Square Garden.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough.
Mine would still be Sturgis. On the big stage.
Buffalo Chip, yes.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough.
I mean, I know it's not as big as like a big, huge stadium or full of people, but as far as a gig I've always wanted to play, that would be like a bucket list item, I guess. Hopefully I can do it.
Fair enough. Our most popular answer we've ever gotten on this show with that question is Red Rock.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. That's a good one, too. Yeah. And I'd like to do the Tacoma Dome.
Red Rock. Red Rock is the most, probably that and the fest, I think it's in Germany, the Wacken.
Yeah.
We get Wacken a lot.
Oh, yeah. That's
Do you guys also get Germany as well?
Yeah, well, a little bit. Usually, if it's Germany, it's always the Wacken Festival that somebody wants. It's always some big, huge, major festival, which Wacken is a popular one. Download Festival in the UK is a popular one. We get Hellfest a lot, which I think Hellfest is in France, I believe.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah.
For Hammerhead's sake, if they actually play anywhere in Japan, I would say they made it. Period.
Okay. Dude, Japan, they're all about metal. I've got friends who play Japan every year, and they've told me time and time again that they make more money in Japan in 2 weeks than they do months in the U.S.
That's
crazy. So apparently Japan is all about the fucking metal.
You hear that, Kevin? You need to get us over there.
Start getting those passports. We're ready to go to Japan. Yes. All right, Meg, you're up.
What's the best opportunity that music has brought to your life?
Good question.
Best opportunity. The best opportunity that music has brought to our life, is that what it is?
Yep.
I would say just the music and the people we get to meet, the fans.
The opportunity to travel, see different cultures, and see different people, and spread some love and some fun, and that's probably the biggest thing for me.
And sell that merch.
Yeah.
There you go.
You always got to sell the merch, man.
That's got to put the fuel in the bus.
Yep. Yeah.
You know, that's like me. I've always had a rule. And even besides being a musician, even if I wasn't a musician and I didn't understand, I still understand that concept of the best way to support these bands is by buying their merch. Yeah. So I've always had this thing, like anytime I go, which Meg and CB both know that I am notorious for this, I will be at the fucking merch and I will buy as many goddamn t-shirts as I could physically buy with every damn bit of money that I've got. Even interviewing all these bands over all the time that we've interviewed bands, I will turn around and when I have the money and have the means, I will go buy t-shirts from the bands that I have interviewed, because it's just about showing that fucking support, because that is what keeps these bands going.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Shirts always sell the best for any show. You know what I mean? Everybody wants your shirt.
Yep, shirts and hoodies.
Yep.
Even though hoodies are extremely fucking expensive.
They are. You got to get $45 to $50 for a hoodie just to break even.
Especially if you get the good ones, yeah.
Yeah,
I felt so bad. The last time one of my big favorite bands is Ghost. I love Ghost, one of my all-time favorite bands. And I went up there to buy a hoodie last time I seen them, which it's been a couple of years since I've seen them. I need to go. I know they're about to go. Well, no, I think they're done with touring for a while. But the last show I went to, I went ahead and bought like two or three T-shirts. And I go over to the hoodies, and it's like $150 a hoodie. And I was just like, holy shit.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm going to have to opt out of that one. I'm sorry, guys. I'm not spending $150 on a hoodie.
There goes Christmas and birthday right there.
I can see $80 maybe, you know what I mean? Because they cost anywhere from $40 to $45 to press them up. Good quality ones.
Wow. Yeah, well, see, I don't have a problem spending like $75, $80. That's fine, but $150?
That's
a little far-fetched for me.
If you're making like a $35 profit, you know, that should be doable. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. All right, CB, you're up, man.
So if you could give advice to anybody who is trying to get into music, out of all your experience that you guys have had over the years, what advice would that be for them?
Be professional. Yes.
And what is that? What do you mean, be professional?
Well, you got to work your way up the ramp. You know what I mean?
You got to work hard. It just
don't come overnight. You got
networking and working hard and making sure. One of the key advices I would give to any of the guys out there trying to get a band together is it's not always about how good somebody can play. It's about how good they play with you. It's about chemistry. That's the biggest thing I could say, because when other bands have chemistry, like the difference between like AC/DC and Van Halen, and they all sound unique, but they have a chemistry within their band that works for them. You know, it's kind of hard to explain. It's something you just feel, you know, you lock, you know, like with my drummer, Bobby. He used to play for Jerry Cantrell before Alice in Chains. He didn't play in Alice in Chains.
Diamond Lie.
But I've always had Bobby as my drummer because Dave Fender on the first album hurt his back and just couldn't do it anymore. But I think Bobby's been with me on every recording I've done ever since I've been in the music business.
But I still love watching Dave Fender on the video.
Oh, Dave Fender was amazing back then. He was our original drummer. And Dave Fender and Bobby Nesbitt are very best friends.
Yeah.
You know, that's how Hammerhead has always been. I don't know why our band is unique in some ways, because everybody loves everybody and we all get along. We always have for all these years.
Would you guys also say know the business of what you're getting into?
Oh yeah, study. You know, learn from your teachers. Learn from your. Try to suck up as much information as you can. You know, you can do. We didn't have the ability to do a lot of online research when we were younger either, because cell phones hadn't even came out. So we were doing our tours using a regular map. You know, how to get there and stuff. You know, we didn't need GPS. You know, we just Anyways, I'd say, that would be my biggest thing, is just make sure you get along with the guys in your group and you all like each other, because if you have conflict between you on a personal level, it's going to show in your music.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. So if you guys could change one thing about the music industry, what would you want to change?
I got a good one, though. But you guys go ahead.
I got this one. I wish that the record labels that are out there that could help people succeed in this business were a little more open-minded to supporting more bands than just the hand-picked ones that they like, that they think they're going to make the most money off of. I just wish there were more good labels out there to help support bands and get their music out there. And there needs to be, and we need more music in this world. There's never enough.
Well, there aren't any record labels left anymore. It's all internet.
No, it is.
It's all internet.
But, you know, there are big, there's labels out there, but
many.
I'm just saying it would be great to see more support for the musicians in the world, having more richer people that have the money, seeing them invest a little bit into music, you know, and get it more in our schools. Sometimes they don't even have music in schools anymore, you know, like, you know, my last two classes when I was in high school before I graduated was art and music after lunch. Because I got to craft everything else, but they don't have like a lot of music in school much anymore. I noticed that. That's all sports.
Well, yeah, because they feel like music doesn't bring money, and slowly it's just kind of decreasing. And you can even look at it in like the venues. I literally sit here and watch venues all the time close doors. I've seen a lot of, you know, big, huge historical venues close their door, just like, you know, CBGB, fucking doors closed. Here recently, another big one down in California. I actually am a big fan of this clothing brand called Dixon, and I own a lot of Dixon clothing. Well, they had one that they did a flannel shirt with this place called Chain Reaction down in California. Well, literally, they put that flannel out. I bought the flannel, and that was always like one of my dream places to play was Chain Reaction. 6 months later, Chain Reaction's gone. Wow. And I'm just like, holy crap.
I feel like you don't see any drive-in theaters anymore. I used to go.
There's one here. There's one right down the street from my house.
And that's cool because it's better than it's fun to go to the theater.
It is still to this day. It is $8.50 to go down to our shit and go see two movies for $8.50. They even still have an old school concession stand. They still sell the old candy. They're in like the fucking big boxes. Yeah. They make hamburgers, hot dogs on the grill, like anything you want.
You can tailgate.
That's good.
Yep.
You can watch a movie, tailgate. Yeah.
Yeah. It's actually the one we have here because I live literally 30 seconds from Paris Island. And for you that are in the military, most people know what Paris Island is. It's home of the Marine Corps.
Yeah, so I'll check that movie theater out with you someday. I'm sure we'll hook up one of these days. And you can
come on out.
But
it is right down the street because one of the other bases that's here is one of the Marine Corps MCAS, the Marine Corps Air Station. And it is literally right across the street from MCAS. And you can go down, load up as many people as you want in the car. It's $8.50. You get two movies. You pick what screen you want, which two movies you want. You go, you can tailgate, do whatever. They got plenty of food there, and it is cheap, but it's one of the very few that's still in existence, which is sad because that shit is awesome.
It's next to the military base. You know those guys are going to be loving that stuff.
Well, hell yeah.
Get off the boat or get off the base and go check out a movie with some hot chick. Oh, yeah. They'll be all over the back. They'll be all over the back seat of that car.
They're going to be watching the movie.
We paid $8.50 to make out. Fuck the movie.
That's sweet.
I'm gonna get my actions worth. All right, Meg, you're up.
I put a mattress in the back of my truck.
Holy shit!
Backwards.
So, what is your favorite song to play live?
Oh man, that's so hard. You got some hard questions, girl. Say that again. Sorry.
What's your favorite song to play live?
I like Annihilated Destruction.
For our songs? Yeah.
I like
just got that heavy grit, growl, and power.
Right.
My favorite.
What about Masters of Frustration?
Probably Masters would be my favorite because it's one of the first songs I wrote a long time ago. And yeah. I just think that song is just pumping, man. It's high energy.
Another popular one that is getting a lot of fan recognition is Neighbors.
Yeah, Neighbors is a cool story. It was about this old lady that lived next door to us when Hammerhead first started out. We rehearsed in this big house in the basement. And she lived next door to us. And so when we cranked it up, we were rockers, you know. She said drove her crazy. She'd go out and start her lawnmower and leave it running by the window by our basement the whole time we were rehearsing, just so she didn't have to hear it.
All night long. To piss it off.
Then she cut our clothes off the clothesline and they landed in the mud. And so there's just a little song about her. And it's called It goes, your next door neighbor's such a hag. She's itching and bitching to drive you mad, calling the cops when we start to play, wishing that rock would move away. our chorus is never stop. We're going to rock and drive you mad. And we used to open up the window and let her have it.
Yeah, hell yeah.
And they still relate to that song still, because they still have some annoying neighbors next to them. Is that right, Pete?
No, my neighbors are fine.
No, we're cool, okay. Man. Okay. You've got an acre lot here, so nobody.
Well, my neighbors are cool. We don't do it into the night. We're done by 7 o'clock. We start at 4:30, and we're done by 7.
Yeah.
I mean, if we're going to record at night, that's fine, because you can use headphones and stuff. So, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Right. Fantastic. So on that, we are out of time, but we want everybody to stay put because we actually do have a music video for Hammerhead. Please make sure you go to all their social media accounts, hit that follow button, go buy some merch, and if they're playing in your town, don't be a pansy ass. Go buy the goddamn tickets and go check them out. But on this, here is Hammerhead with Masters of Frustration, and we will see everybody again here in a few hours at 7 o'clock.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.